Today, we're so excited to have you here, and I hope that you feel what God's presence is alive this morning, that you don't serve a dead God. How many are glad you don't serve a dead God? And when you come, that not only is it a step of faith, and we know that we step out in faith and say, God, I believe you. God, I know who you are, and I declare that you're Lord, but it's also, he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. He said, I'm going to give you my spirit that's going to comfort you, that's going to strengthen you. And today, I know you feel the spirit of God that is here moving in our midst. And I pray that you don't allow this time to pass you by. Well, today we're going to start a new series we're going to be doing all month for our Christmas time. Doesn't the Christmas decorations look good? Don't you appreciate it? Appreciate Pastor Mel and who else helps you? Teresa Devine and Pastor Jeremiah. He and I put up this big Christmas tree in the middle. Oh, that wasn't an easy thing. But we got on a ladder and we got that up for the ladies, and they came in and decorated, did a great job. This looks very nice this morning. Today we're going to start a new series called God's Gift for You This Christmas. How many like gifts? Let's be honest. How many really like gifts? Hey, you know, I love gifts. I just tell you, you know, not only because of the birth of our Christ, but I love Christmas more than any other time of year, because when you have small children in the house, I mean, it's just so exciting. You know, they do not let a dead moment pass you by. You know, so you know what I'm talking about. Every commercial, every ad that comes out, they're cutting things out. They're talking to you, leaving hints, telling you what they want, you know, and it catches on. Now my four-year-olds have caught the older ones doing it, and they're coming up and telling them what they want, you know. My four-year-old, you know, they want this and that. They don't even know what it is they're saying, but they want it because, you know, everybody else is asking for things. And I know that today Christmas is not all about the gifts. It's not about that. But today I'm talking about this spirit, the anticipation of our kids knowing, hey, you know, that something's coming at Christmas time, and they're excited about that. And I love, as a father, you know, it just brings me a lot of joy to give my kids gifts. You know, I far exceeds. I like getting gifts. Those are nice, but I get a lot more joy out of giving my kids gifts at this stage in my life than I do receiving gifts. Not that I don't like gifts, honey. You know, make sure you don't forget me. But I'm not saying that at all. Let's make it clear. I'm not saying that I don't, but I'm saying that I get more joy out of giving my gifts to my children and seeing them unwrap those gifts. And I'm the kind of person on Christmas, you know, I want every gift I want to see. So I make my kids take turns, you know. They unwrap every gift one at a time. We take turns. All right, Preston, you go. All right, Landon, you go. And we don't just all open our gifts because, you know why? I worked hard to buy that gift. And I shopped hard to buy that gift. And I want to see the expression of every gift they get. I want to see the excitement on their face. I want to see it because I enjoy giving gifts to my children. And how much more does God love to give us gifts? How much more does our Heavenly Father love to give us gifts? And this series we're talking about is God's gift for you this Christmas. We're going to be unwrapping gifts this Christmas season that God has given us today. And today we're going to talk about the gift that God has given us. God's gift for us this Christmas. God's gift of strength for you. God's gift of strength for you. I read this on the internet today. I thought you might like it. It says, what if this would happen instead of three wise men, there'd have been three wise women. And we wanted to write this. They would have asked for directions, arrived on time. They would have helped deliver the baby, cleaned the stable, made a casserole, and bought practical gifts that the mother could use. And there would definitely be peace on earth. I thought that was interesting today. As we head into the Christmas season, we know there's a lot of things that go along with Christmas, and I pray that you do not get caught up in just the hustle and bustle of the Christmas season, that you allow God's gift to you be real, that you unwrap the gifts that God has for you. So we're kicking off this new series, and today we're talking about God's gift of strength to you. The first thing we need to understand is that God is an all-powerful God. He is an all-powerful God. The Bible uses the word omnipotent, which means this. It means he is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. He was all-powerful. All power belongs to him. Everything in the universe, the power, everything accomplished in the universe and on this earth is done through him. Sometimes we think about that statement and say, I never doubted that God has all power. We believe that. But what does it have to do with my life? That's what we're talking about today. What does his power have to do with my life? And that's the second point of this. It's so important to remember that the empowering God, the omnipotent God, the empowering God, he's all powerful, but he wants to share in my life this power. He wants to share in your life this power that he longs to give us. And it's evident here in Psalms 29. We're going to read this. It's such a powerful passage that David wrote. And I want to read the scripture to you, and we're going to stop along the way and explain it. It says this. He starts out with these words, Psalms 29. We're going to read here. Let's pick it up. It says, the voice of the Lord was over the waters. The God of glory of thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. So let's set the scene here. David's talking about what? David was a shepherd boy. He's talking about the desert. He's talking about the region he was in. He'd been talking about the thunderstorms that brew over the Mediterranean Sea that is there. He's talking about what he experienced firsthand, what he's seen, the power of these storms coming in over the sea. Let's pick it up. So the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. He, the voice of the Lord, breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. And this is not Lebanon, Missouri, okay? Let's make it clear. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. I'm talking about the cedars there were 30, some of them can be up to 30 feet wide, and they can be up to 12 stories tall. We're talking about these huge monster trees that David's talking about, 30 feet wide and 12 stories tall. He says, God, your thunder, he's majestic. The voice of the Lord, it breaks even these cedars and causes them to be just as kindling before you. He goes on to say, he makes Lebanon skip like a calf. Mount Siren like a young wild ox. Mount Siren is a 9,000-foot mountain. It's also called Mount Hermon, which in other words is saying that God's voice is so powerful that he can cause even the mountains to obey him. He can move and make them shiver. He can make them quake. He goes on to say, the voice of the Lord strikes with the flashing of lightning. Think how powerful lightning is. Lightning is one of the most powerful, awesome displays of power that's known to us as far as a physical manner. We know that 13 million bolts of electricity go through each bolt of lightning. I'm talking about a powerful thing here. You realize that lightning has, if I say that lightning can reach up to 5 times the heat of the sun? I mean, we're talking about a powerful thing when we talk about lightning. He says, the voice of the Lord strikes with power as a flash of lightning. He goes on to say, the voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. Kadesh is in the south. Siren, the mountain of Siren, is in the north. So what is he saying when he's saying Kadesh? He's pointing out a picture. He's saying, the voice of the Lord is in the south. It's in the north. It's in the east. It's in the west. He's declaring the greatness of God in the different regions and talking about how powerful God's voice is. He goes on to say, and his temple all cry glory. He says, man, they're so powerful that everything in creation, everybody cries out that God, you are an awesome God. Basically what he's saying, that they humble themselves before you, crying out, glory be the name of the Lord because of his awesome power. But this is such an awesome display. David's painting this picture here of this awesome display of God's power. He's comparing it to the storms that rage over the sea and come and cause the quakes of the earth and the mountains shake and the lightning in the sky. He's comparing how the voice strikes and destroys these 30-foot wide trees and 12-foot. He's talking about power. He's just trying to let us relay the power in the voice of the Lord, power in the name of Jesus, power that God has in this world. And then as he talks about power, then look what he says as he ends this passage. This is very important. I want you to get this. It says, the Lord gives strength through his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. He's not saying that God is not only powerful. He's saying God is powerful enough to give you the strength that you need. He's relaying this. He didn't just say this to be cute the way they end it. It doesn't actually go. If you think about it, it doesn't actually go with the poem. But what he's saying is this, I'm describing you the power of God, but now I'm telling you why he gives us power. He gives us power to give us peace, to give us strength that we need. He's saying the same God that speaks and lightning strikes, the same God that can quake the earth, the same God that can calm the storm, the same God that has the power in your life to give you the strength that you need. Listen, today, you realize that God has given you a gift of strength. God is wanting to pour out his strength upon you. God is wanting to give you the strength that you need. Look what 2 Timothy 7 says. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of what? Timid, a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. God did not give us a spirit of fear. So today, if you're walking in a timid spirit, in a spirit of fear, that is not of God. That is contradictory to what the Word of God says as a Christian that we are to walk in. He says, as a Christian, he has given us a spirit of power. What kind of power? We're talking about the power that moves mountains, the power that shakes the desert, the power that has the lightning force. I'm talking about the power of God. The unlimited power of God, he has come to give you that strength. He said, I want to give you that kind of courage. I want to give you that kind of strength in your life, not a spirit of fear. We all need God's strength in our life. We all need God's power. Where do we need God's power the most? I think there's three areas that we need God's power the most in our life. We need God's strength to get us through what we can't even go through on our own. How many know that we need God's strength to go through things we can't go on our own? We need God's strength to do those things. And listen, if it hasn't happened to you, it will happen to you. If it's never happened, somewhere in your life, you're going to need God's strength to do what you can't do in your own. As I was reading this scripture, preparing this message, my mind went back to a time when I can realize that I just really needed God in my life in a way that I could never imagine. And we've gone through miscarriages. I remember going through those things. And I remember really the first time I really remember this in my life was a time when my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were killed in an automobile accident heading to Amarillo, Texas. And we're going to meet our uncle in a funeral there in Fort Smith, Arkansas. And as we're driving to meet them there for a funeral, we get there, and I go in to check in the motel, and there's a little number at the desk that says, you need to call this number. And I call, and it's a local pastor, and he tells me that our family has been killed on the way there. And so I have my wife and my mother-in-law and my 12-week-old son are in the car, and they had no idea. And so here I am, just a young man, just married, you know, and all of a sudden I'm having to think, all right, I got to go tell them that, you know, that their son, their brother, has been killed in a wreck. I remember doing that and pulling them out, and God gave me strength to walk through that season. I remember having to go to the doctor. And we ran to the hospital and getting there and going in and seeing Tina and going in and said, Tina, we got Melissa. She's fine. She's going to be okay. And 20 minutes later, coming and got me and said, Tina didn't make it. She's gone. And so I had to go back out into the waiting room and take my wife and take my mother-in-law and tell them that Tina had to went on to be with God. I remember taking Melissa and taking her to the funeral home, and we're sitting down and saying, Melissa, we're going to be your parents now. You're going to come live with us, and we're going to raise you. I remember making the funeral arrangements. I remember speaking at the funeral. I mean, I'm talking about a time when this does not seem like you can do it on your own. And I remember, for the first time in my life, I remember something that happened, that there was a power of the Holy Spirit was in my life that I cannot explain. There was a peace of God. I was mourning. My brother, my family side was mourning, but inside me, there was a strength that God had given me. There was a strength that I functioned with for those few days, and I began to say, all of a sudden, I'm a father again to a girl, four-year-old girl who needs a father. I'm helping keep people who are mourning. I'm comforting myself. I'm trying to comfort them. We're making funeral arrangements. We're doing all these things. We're planning a double funeral. I mean, it was tough. It was a tough time in my life. And I look back, and the Word of God says it was a peace that will pass all understanding. And when I look back, I said, God, that's what you meant right there. Because there was a peace that undergone in my life that even though we were in mourning, even though we were upset, there was still an undergarment of peace of the Holy Spirit that went through our life. And we made it through. And others say, how do you make it? How do you function? How do you live? How do you ministry? And we kept on going on. It wasn't because we made ourselves. It's because of the peace of the Holy Spirit. It's the peace of the Holy Spirit. And today, if you think you don't need God's strength in your life, you're sadly mistaken. Because at some point in your life, all of us go through tragedy. All of us go through things when we have to have God's strength in our life. All of us go through things when we have to have God's strength in our life. 1 John 16:33 says this, because you live in a world that is corrupted by their sin, there's going to be pain. God's predicting it. He predicted it. He said, because we live in a world where sin was entered into the Garden of Eden, he said, there's going to be pain that takes place in this world. Then he goes on to talk about, because of this pain, there's two things you're going to need. You're going to need peace, and you're going to need courage. And God is here today to give you strength today. He wants to encourage you. We need his courage. We also need his strength because it gives us power to avoid doing what we shouldn't do. It gives us power to avoid what we should do, what we shouldn't do. We avoid the things we shouldn't do. In other words, you know, we resist temptation when we should resist temptation. I read a bumper sticker one time and said this, lead me not into temptation. I'm perfectly capable of finding it myself. How many of you know what I'm talking about there? Lead me not into temptation. I'm perfectly fine to find it in myself. All of us are going to find temptation in our life, and if we don't have the power and the strength of God in our life, we will not resist temptation. The third thing we see, we need God's strength because we can only do what we know we should do. We should only do what we know to do, and we can't do that unless we have God's strength. I can't do what I know to do if I don't have God's strength. I can only do the good as I have God's strength. I can only do what his word says as I have the strength of the Lord. And so I know that I need to do good. I know that I need to go after God's commands. I know I need to obey his word, but that takes strength to do those things. And so I know that I got to do this in my life. We've got to do what we need to do. So how do we do this? I'm going to give you five things today as we close out this message. I want to give you five things, five steps that come out of the Bible, right out of the Bible. These things help me, and they will help you in getting the strength of the Lord. Let me give these things to you. Number one, affirm God's power and his presence in your life. Affirm God's power and his presence in your life. 1 Chronicles 16, 11 and 12 says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done. Remember his miracles. Remember the judgments he has pronounced. In other words, what's he saying? He's saying the same God who delivered Moses and the children of Israel, the same God who helped Daniel, the same God who helped Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the same God who helped Ruth, the same God who helped David, the same God who helped Peter, the same God who helped Paul. This same God is wanting to strengthen your life. The same God is wanting to be powerful in your life. The same God is wanting to strengthen you. So he says, step back, take a panoramic view, widen your view, look and remember these people. Remember what God has done. And remember that God wants to do these same things in your life. This same God who gave these guys strength beyond what we can ever dream or imagine, he said, I want to give you the same kind of strength. I want to give you the same kind of power in your life, in my life. He has given us this power. Joshua 1:9 says, be strong. Be courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. Because the Lord, your God, is with you. He says, don't be afraid. Be strong and get courage because God is with you. He will lead you where you need to go. Number two, admit your own weakness. When you want to have strength from the Lord, you got to learn to admit your own weakness. We cannot be filled with the power and the strength of God until we empty out ourselves. Right now, my life is full. Right now, your life is full. It's full of something. And we're not going to ask your spouse what that is. Well, all of us, our life is full of something. And so how do I take in more of God? How do I take in more of God? I've got to empty out more of me. It's that simple. If I want to put more in my life, I got to make room for God. So I empty out who I am. And that comes when I admit my weakness. I'm saying, God, I am not going to carry this any longer. I'm admitting to you that I fell here. God, I'm admitting to you I'm weak here. God, I'm admitting to you I need your help here. And as I'm admitting these things to God, I'm opening up the door and saying, God, now you can fill me with your power. God, now I receive the power to do what I can't do on my own. I receive the power to resist temptation. I receive the power to do what seems impossible. I admit my weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but the Lord said to me, my grace. This is a powerful scripture. I want you to hear this. The Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that the Christ's power and strength may rest on me. What does it mean, I boast my weakness? I mean, does that kind of just throw you for a loop when you hear that word? I want to boast of my weakness. I'm weak. That's me. I'm weak. Was he saying that? No, what he was saying was this. He was saying we boast in the fact that even though I'm weak, he is strong. Even though I have times in my life where I am struggling, he is still bigger than that. And as I give, I boast. What he's saying, I boast that, Lord, I need your help. I'm not prideful. God, I need you to help me. God, I'm failing. God, I have weaknesses in my life. God, I admit I am making mistakes. And I boast not in a prideful way, but in an honest way. God, I just tell you openly, God, I need your help. I admit that I have weakness. And as I empty myself out, then I'm making room for his Holy Spirit to give me more power, to give me more strength. See, I got to empty out something to receive more. We admit our weaknesses. Number three, we align yourself up with God's will. When you want to receive God's strength in your life, you got to learn to align yourself up with God's will. Remember that country western song, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places? Remember that? Looking for love in all the wrong places. You know what I'm talking about. Looking for love in all the wrong places. It kind of reminds me of that song when I was thinking about this. Because sometimes we look for God's power in all the wrong reasons. We look for God's power for all the wrong reasons. Our reasons are all screwed up. And we align ourselves with the power of God when we want it. You know what I'm talking about. You know, we want God's power here because it's going to convenience us. We want God's power here because it's what we want. So we got to stop trying to use God and manipulate. All right, I'll unplug here, and I'll plug in here when it's convenient. All right, I got what I need. Thank you very much. Let's pull the plug. Oh, I need some more power. God, where you at? Oh, see, when you want to operate in the power and the strength that God has for your life, you got to learn to align yourself up with his will. You see, when I align myself up with his will, I'm saying, God, I'm going to plug into you, and I'm going to stay plugged into you. Because when I have need of your power, I'm plugged into the source. When I have need of your electricity, spiritual electricity, I am plugged in already. I don't just come plugging in because I need you today. No, I plug in because I can't live without you. I plug in because I am in need of you in my life. I line up myself with God's will. I don't take my will and say, God, now you straighten it out. And that's what we do in our life. We take our will, we say, God, you fix our will. God, you complete our will. God, you bring me my will. And when you want to operate into the fullness of the power that God has for strength in your life, it comes and say, God, I have some things I want to do, but I give them to you. God, I have some dreams I want to accomplish, but I give them to you. God, I have some fears in my life, and so I give them to you. God, not my will, but yours be done. What did Jesus pray in the garden? I mean, here's a Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, who's came to die for us. He's in the garden before he's to be taken away. And he knew that he was going to be taken away. And he knew that his hour had come for the crucifixion. And he said he was so torn up about it that he was praying so intensely that his pores opened up. That he actually, and he talked about this, it's medically possible that if you can stress out so hard that you can allow the blood can actually come through your sweat. And they talk about that he actually sweat blood in the garden. You're talking about something complex. I mean, he was having a struggle. Not that he didn't want to save us. Not that he didn't want to fulfill his mission. But he's saying, God, if there's any other way, oh, this is going to be painful. And of course it was. It was a horrible death that he died because he loved us that much. But his will was, God, but even so, God, not my will, but yours be done. And sometimes we have to come to that point where we say, God, oh, I don't want to walk this path, but God, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And when we do that, we are walking in a strength that becomes supernatural. You're walking in a strength that God says, I want to empower you to make it through your storm. I want to empower you to make it through what you didn't think you could ever do. I mean, we're thinking about how could Jesus ever make through what he went through? God empowered him to make it through the crucifixion. What was the result? He was raised again from the dead. He brought salvation to us. He brought eternity to us. We can spend with Jesus. He redeemed mankind. I mean, we're not talking about a small act here. Rewards were great. The sacrifice was paid. And Jesus had the power to make the sacrifice through the strength of the Holy Spirit. And today, God will call you sometimes to make sacrifices in your life. And they're going to hurt and they're going to be painful. But listen, as you do this in obedience, you stay plugged into his will, he's going to endure you with power and strength to make it through. And when you get on the other side, you're going to say, wow, look at the result of this sacrifice. Look at the result of me walking in the will of the Lord. Look at me sacrificing. And I only did this because God empowered me. And I said, God, not my will, but yours be done. That's what it says here in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. What's he saying? He's saying this. He's saying that, in other words, we need to be intimately connected with God. His purposes as a vine is to, in its branches, he compares us to him this way. He goes on to say, whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. For you can do nothing without me. What's he saying? He's saying this. He's saying, if you want to grow and bear much fruit in your life, stay connected to me. I'm the vine. So if you want to produce great fruit in your life, stay connected to God. Stay connected to his will. What happens when the fruit separates itself? What happens when a branch separates itself from the vine? It dies off. It withers, doesn't it? See, if we want to stay life-giving, if we want to stay fruitful in our life, we got to look and say, am I connected to the vine? Am I staying connected to the vine? Some of you find yourself dying off. It's because we allow ourselves to break off in the vine. Find yourself connecting to God. Align yourself up with his will. Number four, ask God for the power that you need. Pastor, it seems kind of simple. It is. Ask God for the power that you need. I remember one time in high school, there's this girl I really wanted to date. This is long before I met my wife, and there's this girl I really just, she's the one, I'm going to date this girl. And I remember trying to pursue this girl, and I was going to ask her out, and all this stuff. And so I found every excuse there was to be around this girl. Every time there was a party, anytime there was something happening, I was there. Anytime there was something going on, volunteering, I was volunteering in the choir right next to her, Everything was happening. I was doing it, man. Anything they had to do it, I was there. She was there. I was there to give her rides. I was there to do anything she needed for the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah, God, I just want to be a servant of you today, And I remember doing this for a long time, and I could feel myself getting closer and closer, And then pretty soon, I had a good friend that went up and asked this girl out. And she said yes. They started dating. And I tell you, I was kind of upset. I was like, I've been working this thing for a long time. I've been setting this platform up for a long time. I've been putting the stage and the steps, I could see it. It was all working up. I was moving in. I built this friendship. It was going to happen. And I remember it really bugged me, And I was like, oh, no, go ahead, But inside, I was like, oh, I can't believe he's asked her out. And she said, yes. I was mad. I was so mad that it even separated our friendship. This girl and I began to separate our friendship. And one time she had asked me, what's wrong? What's going on? I just opened up and said, let's be honest with you. I wanted to go out with you. I'm glad you guys are hitting it off and you guys actually ended up getting married. So it was just a God thing. But anyway, I was like, it just upset me that we've gone so close. She goes, if you wanted to go out, why didn't you just ask? There's a revelation in the. If you wanted to go out, why didn't you just ask? See, I had done everything but ask her out. I was hanging around her. I was leaving hints, but I just didn't have the courage to ask her out. I didn't realize it there, but now I look at it and say, I didn't have the courage to ask her out. My friend, he did. He didn't care. He didn't put in the time out of these. Well, hey, can I go out? Let's go out. She said yes. And see, many times, this is a funny story in high school, but now it carries over to our own life. Many of us, we have things we need in our life, and God's saying, just ask. Just ask. Have the courage to ask. Ask God for the power that you need and see if he will not do what you ask. James 4:2 says this, you do not have because you do not ask God. You have not because you ask not. Pretty simple, isn't it? We make it rocket science. God, when are you going to do this? Ask him. First of all, am I connecting to his will? Am I connected to divine? If I'm connected to divine, then I come back and go, God, I need you. God, I'm asking you specifically. God, I don't want to just give hints. Well, God should know my heart. He does, but I'm also called to ask. He says, I have not because I ask not. Oh, God is all knowing. He knows what I have need of. That's right, but sometimes he wants you to ask. Why? Because that means you have to step out on faith. Ask. Ask. And number five, act right now out of obedience to God. Act right now out of obedience to God. You want to walk in strength in the Lord, you got to learn to act right now in his obedience to him. We got to learn what it means to act in obedience. What we're talking about, even when we don't feel empowered. Listen, even when we don't feel empowered, we don't feel the strength of God, when we operate and we obediently proceed forward in Christ down the road that God wants us to walk in, he will give us the strength we need to accomplish what is needed to be accomplished. I'm talking about obedience means that God, I don't always feel it. This morning, we can feel God's presence here in a great way. And how many know it would be great tomorrow morning we got up and, man, the power of God was there. You got up and you just hit your knees. God longs to have those moments with you in your life, even in your home. Do you realize that? Even in your car. God longs to show up in your everyday life. But listen, there's sometimes that you just don't feel him. There's sometimes I don't always feel it. And he said, that's when it's important that even though I don't feel this, that I walk in obedience. See, it's easy to walk in obedience right here. Oh, God, I feel you. Yes, God, you want me to do this? Yes, yes. And I walk out and I feel empowered. But what about when I get up and I hit the ground, and all I feel is cold. All I feel is sleet in my eyes. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, those are seasons of growth in our life, and obedience brings strength. And I say to you, when you feel that way, congratulations, you have got a great opportunity to prove your faith with God. See, my wife, she knows that I love her. And on Valentine's Day, I give her things, and she appreciates it. But you know what? She appreciates a lot more when I do it in March or in July for no other reason. When I give her a Valentine, where I give her flowers, or I give something nice to her, nice words. She appreciates a lot more when it's the middle of July and there's no reason for me to do it than I do when it's expected on Valentine's Day. I'm proving to her that I love her. This is not something I do because I have to. And see, there comes a time in our life when we have to prove to God. We have seasons we walk through. And say, God, I know you're there. I know that you love me. And you know what? I really don't feel it today. But you know what? In spite of me not feeling it, I know that your word is truth. And I know that I'm going to be obedient to you anyway. And as I walk in obedience, then he gives me strength that I don't see. Many times it's through that obedience. God, I don't feel like I'm at church. God, but I'm going to come anyway because I know that I need to be there. God, I don't feel like doing this. God, I know that I need to do this. As we walk in obedience to God, we know that he is what? He is working on our behalf. I'm aligning myself with his word. I'm admitting that I have problems. I'm admitting my weaknesses. I'm aligning myself up to him, connecting to the vine. And I know that as I walk in obedience, sometimes it's a faith walk. But how many know without faith, it's impossible to please God? And today, if you're here, you say, Pastor G, I don't know what you're talking about. You will. Look, some of you have gone through it already. Some of you may be going through it today. And some may be in the future. You'll come a time when you don't feel it. There'll come a time when you just don't feel like doing the things you need to do. I don't always feel like doing the will of the Lord. I don't always feel like I do it. But as I do it out of obedience, my actions and my words and my body comes into alignment with him. And it's not long that I feel his power in a great way in my life. And he's working on my behalf. And so those times, that many times I grow more than any other time in my life. I grow more than any other time in my life is when I walk through those seasons when I don't feel it. Because I'm doing it. I'm checking myself. I'm doing this for the right reason. Am I doing it because I'm called? Am I doing it because you've asked me to do it? Or am I doing it because I feel you? See, I don't always feel him. In obedience. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Let's look at our last scripture here in Psalms 37:5. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him to help you do it, and he will. We commit everything we do to the Lord. You want the strength of the Lord today in your life? Listen, God is giving you a gift of strength today. Our all-powerful God has brought you a gift of strength that he longs to give to you and he longs to give to me. And that comes today. So say, God, I give you everything that I have. I give you everything that I do. God, it belongs to you. Today, God has got his gift here of strength. God has got his gift here of strength. Some of you here don't know what you're going to do when you leave. You say, man, Pastor, I feel so weak in my life. If I don't have God's strength, I don't think I can make it another week. This message is for you today. Others of you today, you're going through something and you say, Pastor, man, I just need God's strength. I don't feel like I'm giving up. But man, I've got some rough road ahead and I'm feeling dry in my spirit. Or something's happened in your life. You say, I just need God's strength. Today, this is your message of knowing that you unwrap this gift today, knowing that God is here to give you a gift of strength. The God of the universe who spoke the universe into existence, who spoke you and I into existence. This all-powerful God takes that same power and says, I want to give it to you in strength and peace. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. As you bow your heads today, you say, Pastor Gene, man, I'm here this morning. You're talking about receiving God's strength. I first of all, I got to ask God just to be Lord of my life. I never asked him to be Lord of my life. I want to ask Jesus into my life to be my Lord and Savior. I want to ask him to forgive me my sins. If you're here today, before we go any further, say, Pastor Gene, I need to ask Jesus to be Lord of my life. Either you never have, or maybe you have, but you've slipped away from him. You've turned your back on him. And today you say, I want to come back to him. I want to give my life back to Jesus. If that's you today, can you just raise your hands? That's me. I want to make sure you have that chance today before we go any further. Anybody here today? Second question I have for you today, if you're here, is a Pastor Gene. As you're talking about strength, I see that in my life, I need the strength of God today. And one of the areas you talked about today, I need to learn to give control to God. I need to learn to give some things over to God, and I want to receive His strength. If God is calling you today and say, Pastor Gene, I want to receive that gift of strength today. Can you just raise your hands? Say, that's me. Thank you. Yeah, several hands. You say, I need that gift of strength today. Thank you. Anybody else today? You say, that's me, Pastor, man. I've got to receive this gift of strength today. This is right what I needed. I'm going to invite you to stand today. Several hands that went up today to say they need God's strength. His strength is there as we're obedient to His will, as we connect to the vine. His strength is there today. Today, I want you to realize that His strength is there. It's all-powerful God has given you a strength to do the thing that you cannot do on your own, exceedingly above what you could ever dream or imagine. He wants to do this in your life, to empower you to do the impossible. But it comes when we give Him our life. It comes when we say, God, I'm tired of trying to fight this on my own. God, I give You my will. I give You my emotions. God, I give You my dreams. I give You my fears. And God, I give You everything. I say yes to Your will in my life. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord this morning? Can we all do that today? Let's just lift our hands to God. God, we lift our hands to You. God, we lift our hands to You as a sign of surrender to You. God, I pray right now that, God, as we surrender our lives to You, but Lord, right now, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, I pray for every person who raised their hand this morning who said they need the power of Your strength today. God, right now, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, God, as I'm praying right now, Lord, from the left to the right, across this auditorium, God, may Your Holy Spirit flow this morning, God. Flow this morning, God, touching lives, empowering lives, God. As they raise their hands, say, God, I need Your strength. God, may this be a starting point. May they feel the strength of the Holy Spirit drawing them near to You today. As they're turning over control to You, we lift our hands. It's a sign of saying, we surrender control to You. We surrender our will to You. We surrender our problems to You. We empty ourselves to You. And God, in return now, we say, Holy Spirit, come, fill us now with courage, with peace. We're not going to walk around in fear. We're going to walk around in courage. Through the power of Your Holy Spirit, I speak power in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth today. God, may Your power flow through every person here, God. May they be encouraged of good cheer, knowing that Your Son has come this Christmas to give us strength. We unwrap that gift today, and we receive it into our life. We say, thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your gift of strength in Your Son. Anybody say amen and amen. God bless you today. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand before you leave. Be safe when you walk out. Make sure there's no ice there. Walk slow.